Marshall and Sagar here. Welcome back to the Realignments Supercast exclusive AMA Q&A episodes. Hey guys, we've been on break. Sagar was in India for his wedding. I was traveling, bit of vacation, but we're glad to be back. We'll offer one or two bonus questions to the non-subscribers, because I know I promised you a few of those. But let's just kind of dive into it. This is pretty straightforward. If you want access to the full recording, you go to realignment.supercast.com or click the link in the show notes. You can do this by also going to realignment.supercast.com. Okay, so first question, which relates to your stuff, Sagar, is Sagar, congratulations on wedding number one. Congrats on the first ceremony in India. How was the trip? Any cool observations while in India? And Sagar, can you clarify what the number one aspect of that is?
Yeah, we had an Indian wedding ceremony. The ceremony was conducted because all four of my grandparents are over 90 years old. So they don't want to travel to the United States. And I think we can understand that. So we're actually getting genuinely legally married here in the U.S. next year. Thought we should try and do that as speedy as possible in India. So that's what we were over there for a couple of days from. Overall, it was a great trip. I don't know if I have any big meta observations other than a very classic. It is always stunning to me. It's like every time I go to India, it's like the country has aged 15 years, even though it's only been a year or whatever in between my previous visit. So it's always just fascinating to me just to see how rapid development happens and to just see a lot of the disparity. You know, you go from literally one moment you feel like you're in Singapore and then one moment you feel like you're in 1925, and both coexist in the same country. So that's always kind of been India's deal. When I was in the 90s, though, it was much more no streets, no or bad streets, trash, very stagnant development. And very recently, it just feels totally different. So it's interesting. It feels alive in a certain way.
Nice. Next free question. This is a good one. Future for Vivek. This is relevant because a poll just came out today. We're recording this on July 20th that shows Vivek tied nationally with Ron DeSantis. Obviously, this is just one poll. Apparently, the group that conducted the poll is a little sketch, but I still think the narrative direction matters here. So the question is future for Vivek. At this point, it seems like Vivek's run for president has been a success and that he's polling in the mid-single digits and not at 1%. If you were Vivek, how would you look at this success and take it and carry it forward? Would you try and get in a position within a possible Trump admin, run for a lower level office, write some books, or further pursue the media space through something like a podcast? I'm interested to hear how you best think he can avoid the fate of someone like Yang, who feels like has lost a lot of relevancy since his presidential run. What do you think, Sagar?
Obvious to me that the poll is bullshit. Just let's put that on, make sure that everybody knows that there's no way that's accurate. Don't go off a single one. Go off Real Clear Politics average. He's not tied in the Real Clear Politics average for a reason. Okay, so let's put that aside. In the RCP average and in the 538 actual. By the way, I would love to see what the 538 score on this poll is, because I'm already willing to say. Anyway, obviously he's doing well. So what does that mean? I think he needs to go for a Trump admin position. I don't think he would have any success in local elected office. That's just really not what he's trying to do here.
Ohio's a tough state if you're a Republican. That's where he's doing it.
Oh, yeah. I actually forgot he's from Ohio. Yeah, there's no way it's going to happen. It's exactly. I mean, J.D. Vance was an outsider. He had a real issue there. And he literally is not only from there, moved back, did the whole thing and still faced a pretty significant upheaval. And he was going for Senate straight off the bat. And it's not like a Senate seat is going to open up, or that he will be able to come in even after this to try and enter the Senate primary, because we already have some pretty well established candidates. So let's that first bring there. I think his role is obvious. I think he needs to go for a non-cabinet related post, non-cabinet. I think he needs to do an executive. If Trump wins, is a huge if. If Trump wins the presidency, he needs to be the next Kellyanne Conway, an in-house attack dog, pit bull advisor on television. Shouldn't be the press secretary. You don't want to be the press secretary. The press secretary gets the shit kicked out of him every day, and then you have to defend every single stupid thing that Trump does. He wants to be able to do it on his schedule. That's exactly what Kellyanne did. So that's what I think he needs to do.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And folks know I'm not a fan of Vivek, so I'm checking. I'm just noting that I've been quite hostile to him. So, all that noted. But that said, I think he deserves legit plaudits for getting as far as he has done. He really clearly had a theory of the case here for his candidacy and is actually like moving forward in ways that lots of other outsider candidates have not had. So all that said, I think something he needs to start doing now that he's actually at this stage is he needs, I told this to you over the weekend, Sagar, he needs to jettison his like silly Hail Mary stuff. So an example of that was his, we don't believe in America anymore as millennials. So I'm going to make it so that if you want to vote, you have to pass a civics test. If you're under 25, or you have to serve in the military, that's just silly. Like that's the definition of something. Vivek is very good at like pleasing older people. I think that's clearly been a part of his personality, the skills that he's had. He did well in school, all those obvious things. That idea of like a civic test for voting, because like the young kids are just like stupid and silly and like zoomery. That's something you do when you're thinking to yourself, how can I make a well-meaning conservative Fox News grandma in New Hampshire happy? That's not something you do if you're actually saying, like, hey, what's my actual deal here? And I
Right.
get why he was doing that as a Hail Mary style thing, but now that he's a real candidate, and I think he is a real candidate, he has to stop doing that. He needs to stop the like, I'm gonna shock and awe Mexico thing. Like there have been plenty, like, and look, he was like, once again, this is Vivek's skill set. I think he's good at seeing where the puck's going. You've now seen increasing number of Republicans say things like, and look, like we're gonna hold the cartels accountable, we're gonna hold the government of Mexico accountable. But what none of those actually professional politicians did is said, I am going to shock and awe Mexico. There's just like a level of like Kevin. I don't think he knew what the term, I think he knew, I think he'd heard the term shock and awe back when we were all kids, but I don't think he understood that the term shock and awe literally meant like a physical invasion of Mexico. He switched his verbiage to, I would use drones. Like, dude, that isn't what shock and awe means. Shock and awe means Patriot missiles, bigger bombs. They, 101st Airborne, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm saying is he needs to stop doing the silly things and get a little more serious. And then the last part, I want to speak to the Andrew Yang part of the question. Andrew is a friend of the show. We've talked to Andrew in a bunch of different directions. I think the thing that Vivek already wouldn't do that Andrew didn't understand is Andrew, I think, was too attracted to being an outsider and didn't meld himself to Team Biden in a way that he would have needed to do to remain relevant. So what do I mean by that? So to your point, Sagar, your whole point here is, hey, like he could be the Kellyanne Conway. Vivek clearly understands that Trump is the future. Trump is the party. His political success is very much like leveraged to that Trumpy version of the Republican Party. So he's going to be leveraged that way. Andrew Yang could have seen the same opportunity. Andrew Yang could have seen like, hey, look, like I'm a young guy. I'm in my 40s. Like there isn't a clear successor to Joe Biden. There are a bunch of things Joe Biden's doing though that I am interested in. I'm interested in like changing the higher education system. I'm interested in the future of work. I'm interested in infrastructure, interested in AI, all these different topics. He could have been the guy who's able to articulate those things. He already had the CNN contract. I just think that because he thought he could be mayor of New York, and I understand why he thought that was a thing in 2021, he basically pieced out from his connection to Biden land. And I think if he had remained tied, like, and this is to your point too, he didn't have to become secretary of blank. He just could have been like, hey, look, man, I'm Andrew Yang, but actually, like Bidenomics, manufacturer investment, I'm the only person who could articulate why that's a good thing. He would have been really the toast of the town if he did that.
Yeah, Yang, he had an opportunity. Biden did like him, actually. Biden was intrigued by his campaign. So, it's one that, look, it was a conscious choice to kind of decide not to go in that direction. I respect the choice, but I do think that if you are going to do that, then you have to have a genuine entrepreneurialism. And, at the end of the day, success, speaks for everything. So the fact that he's not at the center of the conversation, shows that Vivek is taking the right tactic because he has effectively made himself the attack dog of all the attack dogs on Trump's behalf, because Trump is the center of the universe. Now, that's not a good strategy to get elected president, but like I said, if you want to be a Kellyanne, yeah, that's great. I also think what he needs to do is Vivek needs to nuke DeSantis on the debate stage. That's his job. So on the debate stage, because he's already qualified, whether Ron actually shows up or not, we're not sure yet. But it's going to be interesting, I think, to see what he does. That's what I think you should do.
That's a and he's been talking up the debates for a long time. So that's definitely, I think that's a real narrative breakthrough moment for him. Okay, last free question. RFK as a Republican, if RFK Jr. were running as a Republican, would he be in second place in the GOP primary? If so, why? I 100% think that were true. So once again, I'm going to preface this. Yes, I know there's a part of the listenership who's like throwing their phone on the ground. He's a liberal. He holds positions on climate change, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that are not aligned with the modern Republican Party. That is all true. However, there's a very specific valence to RFK Jr.'s campaign that I feel is very much compatible with the modern Republican Party. The skepticism of elite institutions, his deep, deep hatred of the medical establishment, Dr. Fauci, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, to this point, and his hatred of the Ukraine policy, he has chosen to highlight issues that are more in valence with the Republican Party than the Democratic Party. I think if you were going out talking about climate change every other day, this would not be true. But that's just why I think this question, I think, is legitimately formed. But yeah, what's your take on this, Sagar?
I don't know if he'd be number two, but I definitely think he'd be number three. Yeah, I mean, I think the last name is good. The politics, he'd have to change things up a little bit, but I do think he could successfully do it. And given where everybody else is, I think he could be doing quite well. And yeah. I think you're right in that. But at the same time, I mean, in terms of like coding right, it is true, but I just think it's important to say he codes more online right than actual right.
Oh, that's
so
such a good
I think
point.
The same dynamics.
Can you explain what you mean by that? That's such a good point.
Online right is a world kind of self-contained in terms of its issue set, and that you know, DeSantis, I think at his worst, is also pandering. But at the end of the day, DeSantis is not really somebody who relies entirely on the internet for his support. An actual governor actually got 20% of the vote, often is known to primary voters via his COVID policy, lockdown policy, economic growth policy. As an actual elected politician. So like all of those three things are just kind of, you could both be online and really be elected. And I think that, you know, is DeSantis's best strengths always, in my opinion, come from being the governor of Florida and then what he did in order to get himself actually be governor of Florida, in my opinion. Whereas I think that him and RFK overlap on the, I guess, least helpful electoral side.
That's such a good point. Actually, you've now, I'm active listening. You've convinced me to withdraw my take that he'd be in second, because as I'm thinking what you just said and combining it with the fact that I get the sense that the voters on the right that RFK Jr. could most poll are already supporting Trump in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like what,
yes,
Vivek is, yes, what Vivek has successfully done is there's a third of the party that is like conservative traditionally, but doesn't like Trump or like Trump, but wants to move on. Vivek has done a great job of taking a lot of those voters from DeSantis, from Nikki Haley, from Mike Pence, on and on and on. Yeah, you're actually totally right. At best, RFK Jr. takes like 6 to 8% of Trump. For example, DeSantis tried to do the thing where he was like, but Trump was the one who like bowed before Dr. Fauci. The voters who are most interested in that argument, RFK Jr. may pick some of them up,
yeah,
but that's coming from Trump. That's not coming from DeSantis. So yeah, actually, he wouldn't be in second. That's a great point. Okay, now we are in the paid section. Once again, if you want to get this full version of the episode, you can go to realignment.supercast.com or click the link at the top of the show notes. This is how we pay the bills here.